A very warm welcome to all of you who are joining us for virtual worship, coming to you this 28th of June, 2020, from First Evangelical Lutheran Church in Poughkeepsie, New York. I'm Pastor Deborah Hoffner DeWinter. Let us pray. When in doubt, gracious God, help us lean in to hear your still small voice. Help us believe and trust your promise to always be with us. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, it was in my father's family's DNA to be hospitable and welcoming. They had the warmest hearts, the kindest dispositions, the most generous spirits, until, that is, they were in any kind of competition with each other. Maybe it came from growing up as one of 13 siblings in a parsonage in rural Minnesota in the Depression years, where they even had to compete to get their turn in the three-seater outhouse. So it was also in their DNA to compete with each other. Who could sustain a note the longest when singing harmony together? Who caught the most fish at the lake during family reunion weeks? Who won the brothers' golf outing that day? Who found the best driving route to the family reunion campgrounds? Who found the lowest price for gas in the area? Who dug the best worms for fishing? I think you get the picture. But in all other situations, they just couldn't be a more welcoming family. And the staying power of their patience could be downright irksome. At least it was irksome for the so-called outlaws, and those were those who had married into the family. And they would roll their eyes with good-humored exasperation and say, there's nobody more patient than those Hoffners. I don't think I got that gene, by the way. The warmest, most genuine welcome I consistently remember in childhood, during my college years, and in young adulthood was from my Aunt Gusty, my dad's eldest sister, and Uncle Marvin, who lived in the little town of Lewiston, Minnesota, located between Rochester, Minnesota, and Winona. Rochester is where our Eric used to live and work, by the way. It was in their nature, by the way, to really offer unconditional hospitality, whether someone was just strolling by their home in the evening, or whether a family member was in crisis and needed a place to stay for a few weeks. If you had major surgery and you needed a place for recovery, you went to Aunt Gusty and Uncle Marvin's. If your marriage was a little shaky, well, then you went to stay with Aunt Gusty and Uncle Marvin, and they would give you some perspective and some love and some intervention, too, if you needed it. No matter what time we would arrive at their home for the much-waited, anticipated mission furlough visits between speaking engagements and the various sponsoring congregations that our family would drive around and visit on these furloughs, Aunt Gusty would have the most delicious dinner waiting for us at the kitchen table. Now, the featured ingredient was always butter, of course, fresh from the local creamery that my Uncle Marvin managed. Butter in the best scrambled eggs in the world, butter on the Swiss chard grown in the garden, butter on the beets and the green beans, butter in the home-baked cookies, and listen to this, butter on the 2 pieces of white bread Uncle Marvin had for his midnight snack every night, with cookies placed in between the layered buttered bread. Uncle Marvin and Aunt Gusty lived humbly and frugally. They were great stewards of what they had, and the warmth of their hospitality was all about sharing the little they had in the way of material goods, along with the bountiful supplies of love and generosity that were intrinsically a part of their deep and abiding faith. They had both taken to heart the teachings of Jesus to his disciples. Whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in my name, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. Now, the most dramatic welcome I ever witnessed in childhood, the most gracious hospitality I ever saw for myself up close, was the day that Phil and Marlene, fellow missionaries in Hong Kong, a pastor and a teacher respectively, with five young children, came home to their mission apartment with what was commonly called a long-haired street person in Hong Kong. These were people who were mentally ill, living rough on the streets, their hair long and matted, their clothes in tatters. And it turned out that on this particular day, Marlene and Phil had happened to cross paths with one of these long-haired beggars. And having hearts of gold and taking very seriously their calling as followers of Jesus, both Phil and Marlene could not bear to walk past this man. He was in such dire need, and they figured that God must have put them directly in his path for a reason. And they also took the passage from Matthew 10:40 very literally. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. And so, seeing the image of God in this long-haired street person, they managed to pick him up physically. That was a feat in itself. Get him into the shared mission car, take him home, remove his clothing, burn them, scrub him down in their own shower, share Phil's clothing with him, feed him, care for him as they would one of their own children. And ultimately, they found placement for him in an appropriate facility. We live next door, so I saw this up close and personal, as they say. Made an impression, I'll tell you that. All these many years later, I also recall most vividly the condemnation I heard from other missionary colleagues. They questioned how Phil and Marlene could have exposed themselves and their children to the possibility of picking up a disease or making themselves and their family vulnerable to the sometimes volatile symptoms of the man's obvious mental illness. What I learned from Uncle Marvin and Aunt Gusty is that hospitality, extending a warm welcome like discipleship, does not have to be heroic. Like all the small acts of devotion, tenderness, and forgiveness that go largely unnoticed but tend the relationships that are most precious to us, so also the life of faith is composed of 1,000 small gestures, except that according to Jesus, there is no small gesture. Anything done in faith and love has cosmic significance for the ones involved and indeed for the world that God so loves. Theologian David Lowes tells us that. Perhaps Phil and Marlene's example was far more heroic. What I learned from them, though, was also important, and that was never to accept the status quo if it feels wrong to you. If something is clearly wrong according to God's vision of how we should be living and relating to each other, there is usually something we can do about it. And if we call ourselves followers of Jesus, then we really shouldn't worry about what others may think as we go about questioning the status quo for Christ's sake. Sometimes the status quo we need to question is even as fundamental as how we regard church. As followers of Jesus Christ, Barbara Brown Taylor reminds us, we are not consumers, but providers of God's love. Church is not a hideout, she says, not the place where those of us who know the secret password can gather to celebrate our good fortune. The good fortune of having received the gifts of God that are almost more grace than we can bear, that is healing and forgiveness and restoration and resurrection. Those are not things that we have somehow created, but these are gifts we've received. Rather, the Holy Spirit comes knocking at the door, disturbing our members' only meeting, and reminding us that it's time to share. Sharing, welcoming, providing hospitality. Did you know that part of the measure of the Israelites' faithfulness to God was how they welcomed strangers. The same was true of the early Christian communities. St. Paul writes in his letter to the Hebrews that these new followers of Christ should show hospitality to all, for in so doing, some entertained angels unawares. You know, I really do think that First Lutheran's family, that is, our church family, gets this. I think this congregation does a great job of welcoming others. We're small in number, but we do pride ourselves in being mighty in living out our faith, or adopting Martin Luther's quote as a kind of tagline in our newsletters to live out in our everyday lives together. And that is, our faith is a living, busy, active, mighty thing. We don't always get it right. Nobody ever does. But I do think it's a wonderful hallmark of our congregation that strangers who worship with us and the new members who join us often remark that they felt the warmth of our hospitality. And just as an aside, in a survey of people who had recently joined congregations, where they were given a list of 48 possible reasons for joining, the first two reasons consistently were, number one, because the members made them feel welcome, and number two, what the pastor was like as a person, warm, welcoming, hospitable, etc. Note to call committee, by the way. Second, last on the list, was that the pastor preached short sermons. Oops, no, actually that should have been good sermons. Rosemary. Not short sermons, good ones. But there is one more point that's important to make as we reflect on our gospel reading for this Sunday. All of us long timers in this church family, and those who've only recently joined us, are Christ's guests, receivers of God's gracious welcome. The gift of Christ comes full circle as we become Christ for the neighbor who is Christ for us. So it isn't anything we do at First Lutheran. It's what Christ does for us and how we become Christ to others. In her book, Dakota, Kathleen Norris tells a story about an older monk who lived in a Russian Orthodox monastery. And one day, the older monk was overheard speaking to a younger monk, saying, "I have finally learned to accept people as they are, whatever they are in the world, a prostitute, a prime minister, it's all the same to me. But sometimes I see a stranger coming up the road, and I say, 'Oh, Jesus Christ, is it you again?'" It can get tiring, can't it, to always be looking up and seeing Jesus Christ appearing in one guise or another, with needs we are called to in our gospel for today. Not to ignore as followers of Jesus Christ. There are capacity issues, right? Human capacity issues. At First Lutheran, well, we're getting old, aren't we? Some of us, those tables in the fellowship hall, they were getting too heavy for us to handle as we reconfigured them dozens of times in the church year for one more outreach or fellowship activity, church dinners, family fun days, the quilting group, repair cafe, the spoke bicycle recycling project, annual auction, Habitat for Humanity trainings and volunteer recognition events and community public forums and celebrations of life, celebrations of all kinds. But, you know, when you think about it, it must also get very tiring for God, who welcomes us unconditionally every time we gather here, no matter what antics we've gotten up to during the week or during the whole trajectory of our complicated, messy lives. But here's the good news for today. God never tires of loving us, welcoming us, sending us angels unawares to care for us in our need, and sending us to care for these little ones, the vulnerable little ones whose paths we cross in Christ's name. Discipleship, Jesus teaches us, is about the small, genuine acts of welcome and hospitality we give and receive day in and day out. Cold water to the thirsty, a hug to someone who is sad, a patient listening ear, a card sent to mark a rite of passage. In other words, like being Lorna is all the time. Lorna, who runs downstairs to get a pitcher of ice water and glasses on a hot and muggy Sunday morning to have available for anyone in need. Lorna, who never tires of doing what needs to be done with a cheerful heart. We can't worship together in church, but we can all be Lornas, even in the midst of the coronavirus, in those little things we do for each other as we are able. But if you don't know where to begin, start with sharing a cup of cold water, which in this particular moment in history means to cheerfully wear a mask, because all the data gathered has proved that doing so is the most effective way you can demonstrate your love and care for not only your loved ones, but also the strangers you encounter each and every day. It's the very best way we can love our neighbors as ourselves in this time of the coronavirus. Or, as St. Francis Xavier, the 16th century Jesuit missionary, liked to say, be great in little things. Amen.